Begin the current daven, Sechtes Menachas, Da Pei Zayin. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the Gemara explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding explaining where do we get the prime ingredients regarding the Menachas and the Nesachim in Eretz Yisrael for the Karbanas. So the Mishnah had said, regarding the Yayin, the wine that's used for the Nesachim, so it had said, Imavim, we don't bring Loi Matuk, not if it's sweet, Loi Mavashal, not if it's cooked wine, Loi Ma'ushin, not if it's smoked wine. The Mevi Pasal, if one brings it, it's invalid. And that has the Gemara, but Vagatani Reish, we learned earlier in the Mishnah that said, Eimavin esha listoyin. We don't bring this listoyin one, which is too sweet. Vimhevi kashin, if we bring it, it's going to be valid. So how can we then say that if you bring sweet wine, it's going to be pasal, when that's the same thing as listoyin, and it says that that's going to be kasher? So Amravina, he says, you're right, Karach Vatani, you should wrap them and learn them together. Helistoyin and Matik are the same case, and say by both of them, Imhevi Pasal, you're right, if it's brought, even after the fact, it's going to be invalid. Rav Asher gives a different interpretation. He says, no, don't wrap them together. You're right. Helistoyin, that's kosher after the fact, that's because that's a chulya, the shimsha leimais. That's a sweetness that comes from the sun, because those are the grapes that are hanging there towards the sun. That's not repulsive. So though really it's too sweet, we don't initially use it, but after the fact, it's going to be valid. However, this that we learned, that regarding matuk, that's because chulia de peira, that's the sweetness that comes from the intrinsicness of the fruit itself, of the grape, that's moist, that's repulsive, and therefore that's why the Mishnah said regarding that case, that's going to be possible. Mishnah continued, it says, imavin yashlam, we don't bring old wine, that's the Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe, meaning from last year. V'chacham machshim, they say it is valid. So Amachizki says, my time of the Rebbe, what's the reason Rebbe, if it's last year's wine, it's invalid? Because Amakra, it says in the Pasuk, La keves, for a lamb, yayin, wine. So we learn the comparison of these two elements. Ma keves ben shenaseh, just like a lamb to be valid for a carbon is in its first year. Af yayin ben shenaseh, also the wine has to be in its first year. If it's last year's wine, it's invalid. Now that is the Gemara. Well, ima keves, but then if you're comparing it to the lamb, then ben shtei shana pasul. Just like a lamb, if it's in its second year, it's invalid. So af yayin ben shtei shana pasul. Then the comparison should tell us, if it's wine in its second year, if it's last year's wine, then even b'di'evin, even after the fact, it should be pasul. And that is the Gemara, and says, v'chitei mahachanam, and if you're going to say that that's actually the halacha, but v'tanya linda b'raisa, it says, yayin ben shtei shanam lo yavit. Don't bring wine in its second year. If it may be kosher, but if you brewed it, it's valid. And that is the Gemara, man shamalei dama lo yavit. Who do we find is of the pin that says, you shouldn't bring last year's wine? That's Rabbi, because the Chum say it's kosher. And b'kamer imhevi kosher, but it says if you brought it, it's going to be valid. But if you're learning it from the halacha of keves, then it shouldn't be valid even after the fact, like the keves. So Elam Rabbah, rather Rabbah says no. Hayni time in the Rebbe, the source for Rebbe is from a different source. The Chassevet says a pasuk in Mishlei. Al teri yayin ki yisadim. Don't look at wine when it's red, because that's going to be enticing for the person, but then it has the negative consequences of imbibing alcohol. But one thing we see is that when the wine is red, then it's the most choicest wine. Now, the halacha is that we know that when it passes its first year, then it loses some of its redness, and it's not as red as in the first year. So that is why, says Rebbe, that in its second year, initially it's not going to be valid. Yeah, after the fact, it's still wine, but it's not the most choices where it's when it's red, ki is adam, that's only in its first year, as the Chacham had that tradition, and therefore, that's why initially Rebbe says in its first year, it's going to be the best, but in the second year, it's only after the fact that it's valid. Now the Mishnah continued, it says, Eim Avin, we don't bring Leiman Adolias, Fahula, we don't bring from those which are hanging on the sticks, but rather those that are by the feet of people, etc. Where it also says it has to come from a vineyard that was tilled, that was worked, that had the was dug around the vines in the ground. Now Tanur Lutna Braisa qualifies that halacha, it says, Kram Havudim Pamayim Bashan, it has to be a vineyard that was worked and dug in the field 2 times in the year, not just once. Now, the Gemara illustrates Rav Yisuf Havli Karna de Pardisa. He had a corner in a pardis in the orchard. The Rafik Beit Tfei Rivka, that they had dug, usually you dig 1 time, they had dug an extra time. In other words, like this halacha of our Mishnah to dig 2 times in that vineyard. Vavat Chamra de Dari Maya Al Chatrain, and they made wine that was a ratio of 2 to 1 of regular wine. Meaning that generally wine, the way it was done in Talmudic times, that they would put 3 parts water to 1 part wine. Here, by his wine, you're able to do double of a regular type of a wine, where by him, you're able to have 6 parts water and 1 part wine because it was so strong and such high quality wine, like this halacha that we find regarding the Nesachim, that you have to go ahead and dig in that vineyard two times. Now the Mishnah continued, it says, moreover, once you have the grape juice, you have the wine, they wouldn't gather them together in these large barrels, rather in these chavias, in these barrels. Now, Tana we learned, chavias, these kegs, in other words, not in the large kegs, but rather in the barrels, they were kadias, meaning they were small barrels like a jug. Moreover, there were ludias, there were those that were made in Lud, which is a place in Eretz Yisrael, uveninias, and they were middle-sized. Moreover, they wouldn't put the barrels two at a time, meaning one near the other, because if one of them gets ruined, the aroma might carry over to the neighboring barrel, and that will also get ruined. They have each one by itself, again, to maintain the high superior quality in the wine that was used for the Nesach. Now the Mishnah said, Ketzad Baidik, how do they inspect to make sure that the wine is of the highest quality before they use it for the Nesachim? So Gizbe Yeshu B'Kanu B'Yadi, so the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash would sit, he would have a stick in his hand, and Zarka Gir, when he sees that the froth is coming out, Hikish B'Kanu, he would hit it with his stick. Now Tanu Glinda Brice that elaborates on this halacha that Zarka Gir Shel Shemar, what does it mean when the froth starts coming out of the sediments, of the bottom, which is the not such high quality? Then Gizbe Hikish B'Kanu, then the treasurer would hit with a stick to signal, okay, quickly close the spout, that we don't want any more of this wine to come out because it's already going to the inferior quality wine. Now that is Gemara B'Lemele Meimer. Why didn't you just say, close the spout? Why does he have to go ahead and hit with his stick? Says the Gemara Masayelu Rabbi Yechon. It supports Rabbi Yechon that he says, Keshem Shadibu Yafal B'Samim, just like speech is beneficial for incense, as the Gemara says, increases by Pitim Akteris, which we say, by Enkelikenu, which is the crushing of the spices for the besamim, for the keteris, which when it was being grinded, he would say, hodikative, grinded well, because the speech actually is beneficial for the element of the besamim, kach dibur aliyin, so too in the opposite direction, speech is harmful for wine, and therefore he wouldn't say anything, rather he would just hit with a stick to signal to close the spigot. Now the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he said, that if there's kamachin, if there's moldy, white, flowery things in the wine, then the wine is pasul, chulu, etc. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, the Rabbi Yechanan had the following question, which is we've had, and those who bring the gears to Rava, because Rava had asked the same question in other contexts in the previous Mishnahis. Rabbi Yechanan hikdishu. Let's say someone sanctifies such a wine which has this mold in it, and again, like a Rabbi Yehuda said, that's actually pasul. Mar sheyilka lov mishum b'amam. What's the halacha? Does he get lashes for sanctifying a blemished carbon, that of the Nesachim, that are puzzle? As the Gemara explains the question, Kivin the puzzle, do we say, since it's invalid, kibal bum dummy, it's like a blemished, and therefore, just like we find by someone that's makdash about mum, behemi gets five lashes, so too here. Like, dilma maybe, no, ain't bamum, il behemi that loch of blemish in regards to having this isser of sanctifying it about mum for a carbon, that's only by an animal, and it would not apply to wine. So the Gemara take a little sense, not clear what the loch is. Now, continuing on this theme regarding where do we get the highest quality, which we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, regarding the flour and the oil and the wine. So, Tanya Bar Linda Bryce said that Elam, regarding the rams, which is the animal in the second year, Mimoyev, that we get from Moyev, which is a country outside of Eretz Yisrael, Kvasim, the lambs, which is in its first year, that we get Mechevron, which is a city in Eretz Yisrael, Agolim, calves, that we get Misharon, which is also the name of a place. And there it's Israel. Gizales, the birds, which are the Tarim, B'nayayna, different older and younger types of pigeon and turtle doves. Mahara Melech, which is also the place in Eretz Yisrael. Behudai, he says that Mevin Kvasin, they would bring lambs that should govern Kerachvan, which that Girsa tells us that its height should be like its width, meaning that it should be very wide, because its height to match its width must mean it's, if it's going to be a square, it must be pretty wide, because it's very fatty. Or another girs is without the chaf, rather that gabehem, not gavam, but like gabehem, their back should be rechavim, should be wide. Also a quality in the lamb itself. Now Amar Rava bar Rav Shila says my time to Behuda. What's the reason of this halacha? We just quoted from Behuda because the chesiv, it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, it says yir miknucha bayemahu, that your flock will graze on that day. Kar nirchav. Now the word kar means lamb, which tells us that it should be wide lambs. And that's, we see that's a sign of high quality, and therefore those are the lambs that we'd bring for the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that same Manda Amar that we mentioned before says, Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, On your walls, Yerushalayim, Hifkadati Shemim, I appointed guardians, Kalayim v'chalalayla tamer, all day and all night constantly, Lo yechashu, they won't be silent, HaMaskirim es Hashem, they recall to Hashem, Adam Elohim, don't be quiet to you. So the Gemara asks, my army, what did these Shemim say, that it's saying, Lo yechashu, that they're not to be quiet? So Hachem Arava Barav Shilis, says the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Atasakim, talking to Hashem, you get up, Terachim Tzion, and have mercy on Tzion, which is referring to Yerushalayim. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Amar, he says the Pasuk in Tehillim, Bayin Yerushalayim, Hashem, Hashem who builds Yerushalayim. Now that is the Gemara, Mikar. Now that's, these Pesukim only apply after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and saying Hashem should rebuild it. But before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Maham Rami, what did the Shabim say? Some Rav Bar Shila, Pasuk in Tehillim, Kivocha Hashem B'Tzion, because Hashem has chosen Tzion, Eva L'mayishab, he desired to settle in it, and as Rashi in the printed version says, that also in the future, the Malachim will ultimately be Shemrim on the walls of Yerushalayim and say, Kivacha Hashem Etziyan, may that day come speedily in our days. Hadnu lach kol karbonas tziba, we shall return to you the ninth paragraph of the Masechta Menachos, paragraph kol karbonas tziba, which again spoke primarily about the where do we get the types of flour and oil and wine for the karbonas in the Beis HaMikdash. And with that, we continue to the next paragraph, paragraph Shtei Midas, the tenth paragraph, which continues on this theme regarding the flower offerings that are brought as the title of our Masechta Menachos in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, Shtei Midas Shal Yavish Hayi B'Mikdash. There were two measurements of solids in the Beis HaMikdash. There was the Isarin, which we've been speaking about many times, which are used primarily for a mincha, the tenth of an Eifa. The Chatzi Isarin, as we'll explain shortly what that was for, a half of that measurement, a half of Isarin. Those are the two measurements for solids. Now Rabbi Yarmah, he disagrees. He says, there was Isarin, Isarin, the Chatzi Isarin, which according to Rameya, there were two vessels that were each one whole held an Isarin of a tenth of an Eifa of flour. Now, the Mishnah explains, Isarin Mahayu Meshamash, what did they use this measurement of solids of an Isarin? With that, they would measure for all the flour offerings which that was brought with a tenth of an Eifa. Because as the Mishnah qualifies and explains, although sometimes it was brought more than the Isarin, but they wouldn't measure loy b'shleisha. They wouldn't take for the three of the three Isarin Esrainis of the Minchas Nesachim of Lepar for a bull, where there the Pasuk says Shleisha Esrain Lepar Echad. That's not just one Isarin, there's three Esrain. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, they wouldn't take a singular measurement that held three Esrainim, rather they only used that one measurement, as we see there was only an Isarin and a Chatz Isarin. So to Veloy Bishol Shnayim La'al, they didn't use a measurement of two Esrainis for the ram. Elamaydin Esrainis, again, they would only measure with that one Isarin by itself, and they would do it, measure it once, twice, and three times for the power, and measure it two times for the aisle, and one time for the kevis. And explains the Mishnah, Chatzi Isarin Mahay Meshamash, and that other vessel, the half of Isarin, what was that utilized for? Shabbai Hoyamaydit Chavitin Kohen Gadol, with that one they would measure the Chavitin, which was the certain flour offering that the Kohen Gadol would bring every single day, which Machtza Babaykur Mechtza Benemayim, he would split that Isarin, bring half in the morning, half in the evening. So therefore, when they were measured each half, that was a half of Isarin, for that they would use that other measurement of the Chatzi Isarin. Now, Tanya learned the Braisa, as we said, that according to a mayor, there was actually three, two, each one holding Isarin, and the third one a half of Isarin. So that brings the Braisa to the source of your mayor. He said, Matam Alam, what does the Pasuk teach him in Midbar? Isarin, Isarin, like Kevus Echad. Says the word Isarin twice. An Isarin, for the one lamb. Says, Remeya, Malamit, Shashtay, Isarin, is Haibim Migdish. This teaches that there were actually two measurements that each one held an Isarin. Now, what was the necessity if they're both the same measurement? So that explains the mayor, because Echad Kod Gadush, one of them was smaller, and only held Nisarin when it was overflowing. That was the only time it would hold exactly as the measurement of the other one, which was leveled. That's why one was overflowing. The Echad Machag, and the other one was leveled, because Remeya held that he had a tradition, as we've seen the Pasuk, it says the word Nisarin two times, that there were two measurements that the tzibur had that required an Isarin. Now, if they would both be the same, so then it would be the same measurement. How do you make two different measurements of an Isarin? Well, they each one held them a Isarin, but in different ways. One was smaller and only held an Isarin when it's overflowing. The other one held it even when it was smooth, flat on the top. As Remeh explains, Kaddush, the overflowing one, Shabbahi Yimayid L'chamanachas, that was one that they measured for all flour offerings, that the way you had the Isarin was when it was overflowing in that one Isarin. But as Gittin to Medbeis, Machig, the one that was leveled, that they held the Saron even when it was smooth on the top, Shabahi Emaidid L'Chavita Kohen Gadol, that was the one that was measured for the Chavita of the Kohen Gadol. Now the reason for that is because since his Saron, he had to split into halves, the half of the Saron, to bring half in the morning, half in the evening, if it would be overflowing, then when he would move that full vessel to split in half, some of it would spill on the ground. So therefore, you had to have a flat one so that when they would carry it, it wouldn't spill out. That was the one that was machik. The one for the regular menachas, which they used it as is, they didn't have to move it to split in half, was the one that was used as gadish. Now, as we said in the Mishnah, but v'chacham, I mean, they disagree. They say, no, lo hayisham el isaron echad. There was only one isaron. Shenamak says in the Pasuk, they bring a different source. V'isaron echad akevas echad says it was one isaron for the one lamb. So im came out tamalem isaron isaron. What did they do with Reb Meir's Pasuk that says two times the word isaron? L'rabbis chatz isaron, that's coming to include a different utensil than of the half of isaron. Not to say that there were two that held the isaron, rather it's referring to the half of the isaron. I asked the Gemara, Meir chatz isaron manola, where does he know the third vessel, according to him, of the half of isaron? Nafkalei mivi isaron, he learns out from the extra vav, where it says, vi isaron echel, kevasa echel, that vav is coming to include something, it's coming to include the other, the half of isaron that was there. Now, but Rabbanan, Vav Laidarshi, they don't expound the extra Vav, and therefore they don't have a source for that, and rather it's the other word Isaron that's teaching the half of Isaron. Now the Gemara goes back and says, but Remeir, Hai Visaron, Echel, Akevas, Achad, Mayavadle, what do they do with the Rabbanan's pasuk that says it was only one Isaron for the one lamb and not two? Says the Gemara, Hahu Shalay Yimdu, that's teaching a different halacha that we don't measure, Loi Bishal Shalay Shalapah, we don't make a separate a vessel of three Israelites for the par, for Lebishal Shnaim La'il, and not a separate vessel of two Israelites for the ram. That's what's saying, no, there was only one Isaron, not that it was only one, there was actually two, but to say that it was only a vessel holding one Isaron, but not one that held two or three. Now, but Rabbanan, where do they know that halacha? Nafkalahu minikude, they learned it out from the dot on that word, which is coming to diminish and to take away. The Tanakh learned in Abraisa, Amr B'Yisi, says, Lama Nakud Vav Shebe Emtsi Isaron. Why is there a dot in the Sefer Torah on the Vav, which is in the middle of the word Isaron, shall Isaron Rishon, from the first time that it says the word Isaron, shall Yom Tov Rishon Shachag, on the first day of the Yom Tov of Sukkot? So that says Reb Yasi, that, and this is the same as the opinion of the Rabbanan, that's coming to diminish from that word of Isaron, to say that there weren't exacting measurements of Israelness. In other words, that you didn't have a measurement that held two Israelness or three Israelness, which teaches Shalayimda that you should not measure Leibishal Gimel Lapar, not to have a separate vessel of holding three for the bull, Velibishal Shnaim La'ayel, and not to hold two for the ram. And that's what the Rabbanan of that halacha. But for a mayor, Nikudulik Darsh doesn't expound that dot on the top, and therefore he doesn't know it from there, and rather he knows it from the Pasuk of Isaron Echad, which again, the Kornet Chacham is there to teach you that, no, you only have one Isaron, and not like your mayor holds, you have two Israelness. Now the Mishnah said, Chatzi Isaron Mahayim Mishamish, what do they utilize with this dry, solid vessel measurement of holding half Isaron? Shebaha Yemaidl Chavite Kohen Gadol, with that they would measure the Chavite Kohen Gadol. That is the Gemara Maidid. That sounds like that initially, that the Kohen Gadol would bring in the morning and also in the afternoon a half of Isaron from his house, and that's how they would measure it. But for Minya, that's contradictory from a Mishnah earlier in the afternoon on the base. The Mishnah said, Chavite Kohen Gadol, this Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, Lahoye Boyin Chatzon, it wouldn't come in halves. El Mevi Isaron Shalom Chetzei, would bring a full Isaron, then it would split it. So what are you saying you measured? We know how much it is. What are you saying you measured in a half of Isaron? No, it would be measured in a full Isaron. So Amar Rav Sheshi, he says, you're right. My Maid did not make the Tani. What does it mean in our Mishnah when it says that they measured? It means Mechalik. It would stay into that half of Isaron, that's what he would split it into. That would be the measurement. But you're right, he wouldn't bring the half of Isaron. He brought the whole Isaron, and then he split it into this vessel that was the half of the Isaron. Now, on this halacha, Baymanei Ramin Bacham Rav Chizda says, Chatzi Isaron Rav Meir. This half of the Isaron, the country of Meir. Gadashaya Oymachakaya. Was that overflowing? Was it only half Isaron when it was overflowing? Or was it half Isaron even when it was level? Now, the Gemara brings Simon and Amanik for the questions that are brought from the same questioner, Chatzi Chavite Shulchan, which the Gemara first asks, B'tibay Lach Rabban, why asking the question? Everyone agrees that there was a half of a Isaron of a midah, of a measurement of the base of Mikdash. Why is it being asked only according to a Meir, not according to Rabban? Says the Gemara, no, the Rabbanan, Isaron Gufe Kameh Bailu. If we're asking according to Rabbanan, we wouldn't be asking just on the half of the Isaron. We would asking be on the vessel of the Isaron itself. Was that one overflowing of that level? Remeir tells us there was two Yisroin. It says one was Gadish, one was Machik. So we're asking, okay, that we know, but we're asking regarding the Chatz Yisroin. Kar Rabbanah, if we would ask on the Yisroin itself. So Omalei, so he says, okay, fine. So you're asking on Remeir. So he says, but Remeir Nishma L'Remeir. But from Remeir, you'll be able to understand to Remeir, meaning from one of his halachas, you'll understand the other one. And with Remeir, Nishma Rabbanan, for Remeir, you'll also understand the Kuntra Rabbanan, as he explains. Medam Remeir Isarin, from the fact Remeir says that the Isarin of the Chavitin was Machuk, as we explained in the Braisa, that there was these two Isarinis, one was Gadish, which was used for the regular Menachas, one was leveled, that was used for the one of the Chavite Kayan Gadol. So obviously we see that he holds that the measurements of the Chavitin were leveled. So since he says that that was Machuk, that would tell us that the other vessel, the other measurement utensil used for the chavitin, which was the half of the sarn, was also leveled because that was also the one that was used for the chavitin. Now, from the fact that according to Remeir it's leveled, it's also going to be leveled because that they also say that the chatzis sarn was used for the chavitin, because they don't disagree with Remeir on that point. The only thing they disagree is with how many sarnis there were. But regarding the half of the Isarin, it's clear that according to Rabbanan, that would be the half of the Isarin would be Machuk, and so therefore that's why we asked it in Remeir, but that would also answer as according to Rabbanan, although we're not addressing that of the Isarin of the Chacham, if that was Gadish or Machuk, because that was used for all of them together. But what's clear is that the question we have in Remeir was that it was Machuk, and then you'll know also according to the Rabbanan that the half of the Isarin was also Machuk. Now another question from Bayiminei Rami Bacham Rav Chizdi says, Chaviti Kayan Galu. So this Chavitin, which was the Michas Machavas, the special type of the Mincha that the Kayan Galu brought every single day, B'ma Machalkin L'Chalis. How exactly did they divide the flour into loaves? Now because they would divide the dough into loaves, which there were six loaves that came in the morning, and six loaves that came in the other half in the evening. Was that done B'yad, by hand, meaning without a measuring utensil, or was it done with a vessel with a specific measuring utensil? Now, the reason why we're asking specifically by the Michas Chavitin is because the other Menachas, they would come 10 loaves at a time. There was obvious that he could do it by hand, because it doesn't bother us if one loaf is bigger than the other, as a Braisa teaches at the end of Perek Yelam Menachas, that all the Menachas that if you put in more measurements for the challah, or you make it a little bit smaller, it's going to be valid. The only exceptions are that they have to be exacting are the lechem apanim and the chavitin kohen gadol. Now, the reason why we're asking only on the chavitin kohen gadol, not on the lechem apanim, is because lechem apanim wasn't made from taking off pieces of a large piece of dough, because there every single loaf was made two isreinis by itself, and that it was needed, and therefore we can't ask it over there. But by the chavitin kohen gadol, it was made of one big dough, and then it was separated into loaves. That's our question: Do we have to do it by kli because it has to be exact? Or could it be done by yad? So on that says the Gemara, pshita de b'yad. It's obvious that although it has to be exacting, but he would do it by hand. Why? The hibakli, because if you think he used a measuring utensil, tutani yachnis, what do you think he's going to bring a scale into the azara to use to measure, to make sure that each loaf is going to be the right amount? On that says the Gemara, why? What's the problem? The yachnis. What does it bother us if they bring a scale into the azara, into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara, no. Kivin the Beklaliksiv, since in the Pasuk, when it talks about it in the Techacha, in the retribution that the Jewish people are going to get for their sins, says v'hishivu lachmachem b'mishkal, that they're going to bring back their breads after baking it by weight, which means to say that there's going to be very scarce amount of food and it's going to crumble, and it's part of the curse that they're going to have to weigh their bread. So lavarachar, it's not appropriate to bring in something, a tool, a utensil that's spoken about in the Torah as a curse, and therefore obviously we're not going to be nent to the Azara, so although we have to make sure it's the right amount, it was done by hand and not by measuring with a scale. The next question, Bayimine Ram Bacham Rav Chizdi says, Shulchan, the table that's in the Oil Moir in the Heichel, Maoshi Kaddish Kamatzim B'Kaddish Shalai. What's the halacha if, let's say, regarding the Shulchan, that doesn't have an inside, the table is flat, it's not a receptacle. Now, the question is, if let's say the two kamatzim, the two spoonfuls of levain of the frankincense, which are generally put on the shulchan with the bezichim, with the spoons, where it's put near the breads. The question that's being asked, if let's say they would put onto the shulchan, just the frankincense would put directly onto the table, not with the bezichim. Would the shulchan be mekadesh those kamatzim in its airspace on the surface of the table, or would it not? So the Gemara explains the question. Mid mekadesh lechem. Do we say that since it sanctifies the bread, as we're going to see, even in the airspace, it sanctifies the bread? So kamatzim na mekadesh. Also, these the fistfuls of the frankincense will also be sanctified. Idemo, maybe no. The chazal le mekadesh. What's fit for the table, which the shulchan is made and designated for the lechem upon him, that it sanctifies. But the lechazal le mekadesh was not fit for it, which are these the fistfuls of the frankincense, which are not fit for the table, but rather for the bezichin, which are then put on the table. Maybe that it doesn't sanctify. So amalei in mekadesh, as you read, it doesn't sanctify. On that, as the gemara in, is that really so? But v'amar b'yichin said, as it's brought in perikush de alechem, says l'divri ha'omer, according to the one who says regarding the lechem upon him, these showbreads that are put on to the shulchan, that fachayim u'mechza, and that is according to the one who says that the measurements of the table of the shulchan was an amma, which we're saying the width of the table was an amma, but it was an amma that's 5 tefachim, because there's a discussion if an amma is 5 tefachim or 6 tefachim depending on the circumstances. So according to the one who says that there was tefachayim omechza, 2.5 tefachim that was kaifel, that was bent over, meaning that the walls of the bread was doubled over, was basically folded over, 2.5 tefachim. Now, the reason why it would be done like this is because the length of the bread was 10 tefachim. That's how long the loaves were. Now, the width of the table was an amma, again, according to the Sman Amma, that was 5 tefachim. So it comes out that the length of the breads, since there were 12 breads, the way it was done was, it was put on the width of the table. So it comes out that if it's 10 tefachim long, but the width of the table is only 5 tefachim, it's obviously going to be sticking out. So what they would do is, they fold it over on each side, 2.5 tefachim on one side, 2.5 tefachim on the other side, so that was 2.5 times 2 is 5, so you had 5 up, which 2.5 on either side, and 5 on the shulchan, which was 5. And as the Gemara explains the Perek Shtei Alechem, because it was made like a teva pruta, like a broken box, which you had the box, but it was only closed on two sides, but open on the other two sides. Now, so according to that opinion, says Rabbi Yechanan, Nimtzu Shulchan Mekadesh Chamisha Asa Tefach Lamala, it comes out that actually the table is sanctifying the breads that are on it at a height of 15 tefachim. The reason for that is because the way they would do it, it would have two orders of the breads, 6 breads on each order, one going up on top of the other one. Now, as we said, each one has a height of 2.5 tefachim, so that's 2.5 times 5, makes for a total of 15 tefachim going up from the shulchan, and we see that the shulchan sanctified whatever breads were on it, because they had to be sanctified, just like the ones that are on the bottom, on the table itself. Now, moreover, l'divi harmer tefachim, according to the one that says that it was only 2 tefachim that was being kaifel, that was folded over, because that mandam holds that an amma that was the width of the shulchan was actually 6 tefachim. So therefore, if you have 6 tefachim, and then you have the breads that are 10, so you have a discrepancy of 4 tefachim, so you have to only fold over on each side 2 tefachim. So nimtzu shulchan mekadesh yudbeis tefach lamala. According to that opinion, it comes out that the table is, because you have times 6, 6 times 2 is 12, going up. Now, so therefore, we see that whichever one, but it's going to be either a height of 15 tefachim or 12 tefachim, that it's sanctifying the breads going up. But one thing we see from Rabbi Yechanan is that obviously he's talking about other things too, like the halacha we're discussing of the fistfuls of the frankincense, that we see that the shulchan sanctifies even in its ear space. Now, the reason why it's obvious, because if you think he's only referring to the breads, when you think up until now we didn't know that the shulchan is mekadesh the breads, we know that. When he's just telling us metrics, numbers, we know that. Obviously saying that whatever is in its ear space, even the kamatzim of the levina, is going to be niskadish on the shulchan, so that refutes what Rav Chisda had told him, that it's not going to be mekadosh. Here you see that Rabbi Yochanan says it is. So Malay said to him, no, ain't the mekadosh the carpets, like I said, it does not sanctify it regarding what? To let it be sacrificed, because it's not fully sanctifying it. Of mekadosh the apostle, what was Rabbi Yochanan saying? Yes, it's going to be sanctified enough to become invalidated, which is, let's say, if someone that had immersed that day but didn't have sundown yet touches it, or if it goes out of the area of the Azara, then it becomes sanctified to become invalidated, as if it was sanctified in the bezichin and the spoons themselves. But what I was saying, it's not niskadish, it's not niskadish likarib, it cannot be sacrificed, and therefore that it's not a contradiction, it's not niskadish, but it is niskadish enough where there's certain levels of kedusha to become possible. Continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we spoke about the 2 measurements of the solids, says our Mishnah, 7 midos shalacha yibim Mekdash. There were 7 measurements used for liquids in the Bais HaMikdash, which you had a hin, v'chatzin, a half of a hin, shlishin, a third of a hin, revisin, and a quarter of a hin. You had a loig, V'chatzir leg, a half of a leg, revis leg, and a quarter of a leg. Now, Rabbi Lezer Bar Tzadik, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no. There was just the hin. You had over here, when you had the hin, you didn't have all those lesser ones. He says, shnasis hayu behin. There were actually markings. All they had there was the hin, and there were signs or indentations in the measurement of the hin, which showed ad kan lapar, up until here it's for the bull, which was a half of a hin. Ad kan la'ayil, up until it's for the ram, which was a third of a hin. And ad kan la'kevis, up until here, it's for the lamb, which was a quarter of a hin. Now, Reb Shimon, he disagrees. He says, no, lo hayasham hin. There actually was no measurement at all of a hin. Because v'chima haya hin mishamish, what was the hin used for? The biggest one we had was a half of a hin, which was for the par. The only time that they had was once in history that they needed a hin in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu for the shemen ha-mishcha, the anointing oil, which the pasuk says in Shema Yisrael, shemen zayis hin. But when to make it for the future generations, they had no necessity of a hin. Ella, rather, he says, which one was the seventh one? Midi yisera shal loigu mechza ha-yisrashem. There was one other measurement of a loig and a half, which supplemented it to be the seventh measuring for the liquids. With that, they would measure for the mincha of the kohen gadol, the chavite kohen gadol, which required 3 loigen of oil. So what's the necessity of a loigen and a half? Because loigen mechza b'beika, because there would be a loigen and a half of oil in the morning, loigen mechza ben b'ayim, a loigen and a half in the evening, as the Gemara says in Perek HaTchilus, and it was that seventh one, which the loigen mechza, which was used specifically for the chavite kohen gadol, once in the morning and once in the evening.